Testing 1 2 1 2.
Testing 1 2 1 2. Here we are.
I think we're ready, Dr. Avila.
I think we are.
Okay. Class is in session. Love University, episode 9. Yes. In full effect right now.
We are here. We're here for Love University and helping you love yourself, others, and a higher power.
Definitely. Today we're trying to do something different for you guys. We're adjusting our volumes because, you know, we're individuals that always like to present something good. And we were listening to a podcast before and we're like, you know what? Let's give it a little volume. So we're getting used to this sound.
I think so. We want to project our voices, but project our energy and our spirit so people can really connect with us. And that's what we really want to do.
Well, Dr. Avila, thank you so much for giving us so many episodes. Right now, we're at number 9. Yes. And what you got cooking today?
Well, lucky number 9. But today, we're going to talk about something that's a little bit of a challenge for people, but it also can be a wonderful thing in some ways. It's what we call loneliness. And I call this the loneliness cure, how to reconnect with your true self. And many times, people don't realize loneliness is a big problem in our society. Actually, there was a man who was lonely, so he sent his picture into a Lonely Hearts Club, and they sent it back, and they said, "We're not that lonely."
What? So,
Dr. Avila.
I got you on that
Here
one.
Here we go. You got me. I was all into it.
But actually, loneliness is a real problem. You know, they say that in our society, up to 40% of people are lonely, which is twice as much as in the 80s. You know, so actually, we're becoming a more lonely society. And there are a lot of reasons for that we're going to get into, but I mean, it can be a very big problem. Also, the idea that loneliness can actually cause illness. It can actually kill you in some ways.
A lot of people don't know that. They don't realize that their thoughts is what programs their entire body. And if you feel lonely, if you feel you're just by yourself, you don't have a purpose, it could just kind of like downgrade your entire body, right? Your entire system.
It can. They said up to 18% of dying young is based on loneliness. There's like a connection with that, even more than obesity.
Really?
Yes. And you know, loneliness really is a feeling of being disconnected, you know, disconnected from other people, feeling empty, feeling that you're not wanted in life, you know. And it can be a very, very difficult feeling, a very sad feeling.
You know what I thought about, like, in these past few months? Like, you know, I've been going through a lot. And honestly, coming here and doing an episode with you, doctor, to me is like therapy because it helps me clear my bugs. And what I've been thinking is, like, when you were talking about the archetype of the kind of individual that I was,
yes,
I realized that I'm an extrovert at heart. But I told you that I had changed into an introvert. But right. I think I was lonely. I was depressed. And because me, I'm like a firecracker. I like being out and about. And I was like, now that we're getting more into the whole subject matter of being, you're putting it out there in such a way that I understand that, you know what? I think it was more than that I had.
Yeah, because it's something called falsification of type. In other words, you know, you have a certain personality. Let's say you're an extrovert. But, you know, you start feeling lonely, maybe a little sad, and you start to withdraw within yourself, and you become introvert. Or you can be an introvert naturally. Like, you know, I'm a little more of an introvert. Yeah. So I like my own quiet time, you know, private time. I like to write, read, and meditate. I like to go out and interact with people. Right. But then I get tired. I need to recharge my batteries.
Okay.
So that's the classic introvert. It doesn't mean that you're shy. Mm-hmm. It just means that your energy is within.
It's within you. You don't need others to program your energy, right?
Yeah. So the thing is, you know, you can be lonely among a lot of people. You can be married and lonely. Or you can be by yourself and be perfectly content.
I think it's being honest with yourself that is the key, no?
Being honest and knowing who you are, knowing your personality type, you know, knowing what your strengths are. You know, so if you get energy from your thoughts, you would enjoy being meditating, you know, writing and reading. Mm-hmm. And then you might have a few close friends. You might go out and have some time. Or you can also be extrovert like yourself, right, who likes to be out with people. And you know, you socialize and you energize with other people.
But you know what? Once I'm out there, I get easily bored. I think, I don't know.
Well, that's another topic. That's a little bit of excitement seeking, let's say.
Yeah.
Now, in terms of the causes, you know, what causes loneliness? People often think, is it genetic or environmental? Partially genetic. I mean, there's some research that shows up to 50% of loneliness is genetic, you know, in terms of the brain, brain chemistry. But it's also environmental.
Really?
You know, in fact, people, you know, can actually be lonely by being around other lonely people. You know, they often go together.
So it creates that kind of like social norm for them to be okay with it and they belong to that group.
Yeah, sometimes even they affect people with loneliness. You know, they can walk into a room and, you know, maybe they're pessimistic and sad, you know. So that affects people. They even did a really good study with rhesus monkeys where they isolated some of the monkeys.
Mm-hmm.
Then they brought them back and the other monkeys actually pushed them away and tried to eliminate them because they didn't want these lonely monkeys to be around them.
But that's crazy that even like in the animal world, animals that don't speak like a verbal language, they have that energy sensing feeling.
I mean, unfortunately, the lonely person, you know, becomes very pessimistic, very down, and it kind of drags other people down, you know, and then that person is pushed away even further because of their lonely mindset. So it becomes like a self-fulfilling prophecy. It's a cycle that keeps going. And the problem is that it can also create other problems, like depression is very common among lonely people, heart attacks, strokes, Alzheimer's, and even, you know, substance abuse, you know, drug abuse.
And you know what? I kind of want to use this moment, as you just mentioned, you put the platform of loneliness. It's because you're out of place, you feel you don't want to belong. But I think there's a lot of people that have big egos that are lonely because they, in their mind, think that they're the only ones that belong in the world. And at that point, what do you think, like somebody that overdoes it with an ego thing, do you think deep down they're really lonely and they just want to hype it up to kind of like hide that?
It's possible, but see, the problem is that you might be talking about a personality disorder, you know, the narcissist or something like that. You know, they often don't think they have a problem, so they might think they're fine.
Right.
Now, it's a person that, you know, really feels inside there's something wrong, you know, and that person often is more reflective, you know, they're more sensitive about things, and their fear of being rejected, fear of being, you know, ostracized and pushed out of the society. So loneliness is really more of a mental state than a psychological state. And there are different kinds of loneliness.
Mm-hmm.
For example, you know, the new loneliness. Let's say you move into a new place, you know, or a new college or something. You're going to feel lonely. Right. You don't know people. There's also loss. Now, we talked about this before. You're losing a loved one to death or separation can be a very lonely thing.
Yeah.
Because you counted on this person to give you that support emotionally, and they're gone.
Yeah. You like know, we both kind of like feel it because our parents are gone. And
right.
And we know that feeling, and you feel like empty because you know you're never going to be able to do it. And at least in this realm, to fill them again. But you know that they're there, the energy is there, but it's at a different level.
Yeah, you could say spiritual energy or something like that. But I mean, the key is that, you know, there is a separation, you know, so loneliness can be a separation. Also, the feeling of being isolated. Now, some people are artistic in sensibility, you know, they're the sensitive artists, you know, they always feel kind of different. Or maybe they're different than their culture, their orientation, different things. So they feel kind of like they're not accepted by society. And again, the key is to learn how to be accepted, you know, to feel that you belong. You know, we're going to talk about that power, you know, to accept and embrace who you really are. That's really what the power is.
But it's pretty much starting with yourself and realizing that if you're feeling bad, like I think that loneliness can be reflected on your body, like you said, because later on you can die out of a heart attack. But it starts with a small pain. Like some people say, I have stress bugs in my neck. I have this. I can't sleep at night. I have digestion problems. It all amounts to you having that good relationship with yourself. If you don't have it, it's going to be like a snowball effect. First, you're not going to be eating right. You're not going to be sleeping right. You're going to be tired. You're going to be in a bad mood. You're going to hate everything because you're not putting all your ducks in line. So it starts with you recognizing that you have a problem first, right?
Yeah, I mean, there's something called the lonely mind. Now, the lonely mind is someone that basically looks at every situation as a social threat. Like, for example, they didn't call me, so they don't like me. Or that person didn't smile at me, so that, you know, I can't get to know them.
So they're like the victim type of mentality.
Yeah, they're always interpreting things in a very negative light when it comes to social interactions. Wow. And in fact, they've done studies in the brain, and people that are lonely often look at happy pictures, and they don't react very much brain-wise. And they look at negative pictures, and their brain lights up.
Crazy.
So it's almost as if they're looking for the negative, you know, like for an excuse to be rejected.
Okay, we can probably say that about today's society because we tend to gravitate to whatever we've been fed with the mainstream media, which is bad images. Everybody watches it. There's a police chase, something negative. Oh, yeah, let's go see it. But if you ask them, like right now, I mean, you ask somebody, let's go out and go watch a concert. Come, I invite you to come with me. Mm-hmm. Whatever, one like, two likes.
Well, think about the news. I mean, the news is mainly negative, and that's what sells, right? So people attune to the negativity more than the positivity.
That sucks.
And I think, well, it does, yeah. But I think one of the things that we do here is that we reverse that, right? So we're talking more about positive news than negative news. And we give people solutions instead of problems.
And realize that there's a way out. And what I like about our podcast, Dr. Avila, is the fact that you've dedicated your entire life to this craft of the mind, the psychologist field. And I have respect for it. I'm a regular kind of guy. And I like the fact that you offer a solution when people think that there's not. And there's always a solution, right? It's a matter of talking to somebody.
Right, exactly. You know, and that's what therapists do. You know, therapists are listeners, you know. And of course, you pay them to listen to you. But, I mean, imagine if you could have people in your life that listen to you at a deep level or even, you know, talk to them about what you need. That can be a very powerful thing. And that can be transforming. And that's, I think, what we're doing here. People that may be listening to us now may be suffering. They may be lonely, you know. And I had a client that, you know, he went through a horrible car accident. He was in a coma. And then he gets a lot of negative thoughts. You know, I used to play sports. I used to do a lot of things. And the only thing that saves him is he goes on YouTube and listens to, like, positive, you know, like sermons or positive, you know, things on YouTube. And that's his way to get rid of the loneliness.
Good.
You know, to listen to, you know, these kind of programs that we have. And that's a transformation for him. So I'm sure there are a lot of people out there like that right now. Where, you know, maybe they feel lonely, they don't have the connection that they want to life or to other things.
And if you're in that state, like the doctor is explaining right now, he's saying that basically if you're lost, you feel like there's not a purpose. I say this, I've been there myself. And being lonely and being depressed sucks. But you know, the thing that made me turn around and really, really say there's a way out, I said, if I'm breathing, it's for a reason. And I took action. I started moving from my mind, from my subconscious to physical being. I started exercising. I started producing the things that I loved because I said, I got to be honest and truthful to my persona and really go after what makes me happy. But first, I had to see that I was in a negative state to get out and realize that I didn't want to be there.
Exactly. And you know, there's something that's kind of interesting is that loneliness can actually be a positive thing if it drives you to look within mm-hmm. to find out who you really are and what you really want. Think about it now.
it worked for me like that, yeah. Honestly.
Because honestly, you know, there's something called existential loneliness or like philosophical loneliness. You know, what is my meaning in life? Mm-hmm. The truth is that we come, you know, alone in life. We're born alone. We're going to die alone, right? You know, in terms of our, you know, where we're going to go. So in between that, we got to figure out what is our independence, right? Who do we really are? What is our freedom? Mm-hmm. And then we got to find the meaning. You know, what is it that we really want in life? And that can be a great thing. You know, for example, going out in nature, mm-hmm. being solitary, you know, like meditating, right? You know, figuring out who you really are and what you want.
Like really gravitating to what your brain and your body's telling you. Like, for instance, if you're trying to be a fake person in a fake environment, like something that you don't belong in, be honest with yourself and say, you know what? I don't belong here. I got to be where I need to be. And be in your element, as they say. And it starts with that, being honest with yourself. It's easier said than done, but it takes practice. That's all I can say.
Yeah, and also, well, you can say a lot more, but that's for now.
Okay, yeah.
But, you know, looking at relationships, you know, one thing about the lonely mind is that they often get involved in the wrong relationships, mm-hmm. incompatible or even abusive, and they stay in there because they're lonely. They're afraid of being without someone. Mm-hmm. And that's a problem because you've heard of the so-called lonely marriages. Mm-hmm. We have quite a few of those, the empty marriage.
Right.
You know, they have commitment. They don't have passion, you know, sexual chemistry. They don't have love. But they're still married for whatever reason, right? Mm-hmm. You know, with the kids or whatever. Oftentimes because they're afraid of being alone. And that becomes worse. It feeds on the loneliness. And they become even more lonely. Wow. So you gotta break through that pattern. You know, and there are ways we can do that. And we're going to talk about them right now.
You know what? What I like about our podcast is that As you're talking, I'm visualizing this whole thing of somebody being transformed. And I think that's the key with life, like realizing that you have to accept every change, every stage in your life and not fight it. Because a lot of times we tend to get stuck in one gear and say, you know what, I'm going to be like I used to be in high school. Well, guess what? That person changed. You have different looks. You have different elements that make who you are. And I think accepting the present it's what kind of liberates you, no? Dr. Winchwick?
Yeah, it's very powerful because, you know, let's say loneliness, if you call it a word, it's also a feeling, right? It's also, mm-hmm. You know, even I could say it's a color, right? You know, I would say maybe color red or something or blue. You know, it's a state that you're in, but the key is to embrace that for the moment and say, look, I am lonely, right? And mm-hmm. admit it to yourself and say, what am I going to do about that? Because it can be also an evolutionary thing that, you know, when we're lonely, it's a signal to, you know, interact with other people. You know, to procreate, you know, to have connection and also to have safety, you know, just not be by yourself in the world. Mm-hmm. So it has like a biological component to it. So it's like a trigger, it's a signal, right?
I remember one time my uncle talking about that. He mentioned, he says, you know what? You got to find a nice woman so you won't be lonely when you get older. So when you mentioned loneliness, I'm like, you know what? That is a survival technique because as time goes by, you do need that partner that's going to count on you.
Definitely so. And the other thing in our society that we do overemphasize the romantic nature quite a bit, you know, other mm-hmm. society is more about, you know, finding a marriage partner.
Yeah.
Here's about finding that true spiritual love, whatever, soulmate, which is great, but it can be a high expectation. Mm-hmm. And if you don't find it, you're going to be disappointed and you're going to feel lonely because, mm-hmm. you know, for some reason I can't find this ideal love, you know, whatever it might be. So we set our sights, you know, sometimes very high.
I think at the end of the day, you could set to the best standards. You want to get the best.
Yes.
But you have to understand that you're going to have to kind of like, you know, it's like a contract. You have to give in a little and yes. receive a little. You
a little
know?
Realistic, you know. I mean, you know, mm-hmm. look at what is real out there in the world. But, you know, finding a partner is great.
Yeah.
But the key is not to over-idealize it and say, well, I'm nothing without a partner, you know. And there are people mm-hmm. out there like that. You know, one of the saddest days for a lot of people is Valentine's Day.
Oh, yeah.
And I've done you know, a lot of radio with you and other people, you know, and also write articles. And the idea I talk about, be your own Valentine, mm-hmm. you know, be your own Valentine, because, you know, let's say you're by yourself, you don't have anyone, mm-hmm. you know, treat yourself good, you know, go out to the massage or your facial, you know, whatever it is, you know, buy some nice clothes, mm-hmm. you know, be with a couple of good friends, you know, do something good for yourself. That can be a wonderful thing because showing that you love yourself shows that you can transform yourself.
And you're creating that relationship with yourself, which is what counts because as we said it before, you are with yourself 24/7.
Right.
And at the end of the day, what better what better way to live life than to have a better relationship with yourself and say, you know what, I'm not going to fight myself. I'm going to be in agreement with myself and be happy of being who I am. One of the things that I like, for instance, about exercise, doctor, I bring it back to myself always, right?
Oh, God.
Of course.
Oh, God. The point is that I get physical. I get to feel my body moving.
Right.
And I'm not just functioning like if I'm just a head. I'm just a brain that's moving through life. Mm-hmm. I'm actually living in the moment and the present. And one of the things that I started doing this week that I meditated in my swimming class was I said to myself, what if when I'm walking, I think about my movement, obviously, and connect it with myself. But in order for me to be in the present, it's not just thinking about it,
right,
but also speaking in the present. Instead of just digressing in the back and thinking about something in the past and talking about things in the past, being here with that person, being here in that moment, if it's right now swimming, feeling this water. Mm-hmm. And I think we forget a lot of times because we are caught up with life.
You're right. Yeah. We become, like I said, walking brains, walking minds. But there's a very interesting phrase called walking meditation, which comes from the East. That everything you do with awareness. For example, when you walk through that door, you see yourself walking through the door, right? You actually see yourself taking steps, and you become very present in the now.
Mm-hmm.
There's a great philosopher, Thich Nhat Hanh, a Buddhist philosopher, who said, people say the miracle is walking on air. I said the miracle is walking on the earth with full awareness.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Because, every day, right? You're alive, right? That's a miracle by itself. And you know that you're alive, and you know you're walking through the earth. That's a miracle right there.
It is. And what I think about is that we forget sometimes to even walk, because if you look around in society right now where you may be listening to this, if it brings a thought, think about it. When people are walking, for instance, in the mall, you can see their body type. You can see the way they are physically and mentally because of the way they're standing. If they look slouchy, obviously they're not there physically 100%. If not, their body would be like, yo, bro, get up and let's continue walking.
Yes.
And like you said, it's being aware of self and the present that makes a difference.
Yes.
Catch yourself right now, if you're listening to us, how you're standing, how you're sitting, and make that relationship with yourself. Shake your hand, look at yourself in the mirror and say, hey, I'm here, I'm alive.
Give yourself a kiss in the mirror, right?
Oh my God, I got bad breath. Oh, God. No, just kidding.
Exactly, yeah. So yeah, be cognizant of that. The other thing that's very powerful is what we call reality testing. Now, this is a psychological term where we look at our thoughts, because the lonely mind often has very negative thoughts. They don't like me. No one cares about me. So what you do is you try to analyze that. And you say, well, wait a minute. Is that really true? Is it true or false? Is there someone in the world that cares about me? Maybe there is a friend, a family member. Maybe my dog cares about me. I have an animal
or a
higher power, I believe, in God, or I can care about myself. So you start to challenge your own mindset, the negativity and the irrational part of it, to look at the reality, and that's going to change your mindset.
Mm-hmm.
So you say, hey, wait a minute, I do have some people that care about me. I'm not that lonely as I thought.
Mm-hmm.
I can go out and meet new people. I can connect with others because I have some abilities.
Oh my God, I got a letter from the IRS. They care for me.
There you go. See, somebody wants to talk to you, right?
I know somebody. Come and see us.
Exactly. And this therapy is actually four times as effective as any other therapy for loneliness. Thought process,
self,
reality,
self-meditation, and reality testing.
Exactly. The other thing that's good is having optimism in the way you deal with people. Expect the best when you talk to people. Because many times we think, well, they're not going to like me. They're going to look away, whatever it is. Maybe they're busy today. Uh-huh. I think you told me about the gym, right? You were at the gym or something and someone didn't talk to you, but later on they sent you a message.
That happened this week. I walked into the gym at a different time and some girl sent me a message later on that day. She's like, oh, I'm sorry I didn't say hi. I recognized you from your Instagram, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, you should have said hi. She says, no, blah, 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 blah.
Right. Now, if you're a lonely, pessimist person, you say, well, she doesn't like me. She thinks I'm stupid or whatever. But you say, well, maybe she was busy, right?
But honestly, I did think, because I opened the door for this girl, and I did think, how rude. Okay. She didn't even say thank you.
Yeah.
But then she told me the message. She said, I'm sorry. I just didn't know what to say. And now it's like life showing me in real time what it is to be a prejudiced person.
Sure. Now, if you were to see her the second time without the message, would you have been open to her or not?
I think I would have.
Okay, you would have given her a second chance.
Yeah, I like to give people second chances, especially in my case, doctor, because I dealt with a lot of prejudice. Like when I was going to college, it was in the late 90s, 90 class, 99.
2019.
Yeah, I was one of the first Latinos to ever go to a four-year university. And on campus, you would see other ethnic groups, blacks, Asians, whites, and different ethnicities.
Right.
But our group, it was very, very small. So I would always be looked upon like a stereotype because people would come to me from out of town, and they wouldn't be exposed to the Mexican culture. So I would have to be like, look, I'm not a cholo. I do have a tattoo, but it's a meaning. It's my parents.
And you're also bald-headed, too.
Yeah, exactly. So I take that into consideration. I realize, like you said, you have to be at a higher kind of like mind state and say, you know what? Let's give it a second chance. If in the second chance it doesn't happen, then I say, freak you out later.
You know, you call the person twice or three times, you know, they don't respond, right? Mm-hmm. So basically give them the benefit of the doubt. That's a new way to look at it. You know, so the optimist is always looking at what can be the best situation. Maybe they will like me, right? Maybe we will have a friendship or connection, you know, instead of saying, well, they won't like me and, you know, they don't like me for a reason.
Right.
The other thing that is good, important for the lonely person is to nurture other people. Now, we talked about this before, you know, extending loving energy without expectation.
But isn't that the hardest because they don't even understand it?
In some ways, yeah, but it's a start. You know, instead of thinking about yourself, because the lonely person is very self-absorbed, right? You know, no one likes me. I'm not going to succeed. Go out and, volunteer at a homeless shelter, you know, maybe, you know, help a kid out or, you know, listen to a friend.
Be useful. Do something.
Well, yeah, because what happens is you reverse your focus from inward to outward, and that transforms the whole loneliness. Mm-hmm. When you help someone who's also lonely, you become less lonely. Yeah. So it's a very paradoxical thing.
It's pretty much keeping your mind busy and doing an activity and not having yourself having that marble running around in the brain.
Yeah, but it's also connecting with people and helping them in the way that you need help. See, it's reversal, right? Whatever you need, you offer to others. Okay, you need support, you offer that support to others.
I need $10 million. I don't have it, man.
Hey, well, listen. Well, check this out. You could also start giving a little bit. Actually, this is a law of attraction.
Yeah.
You know, where you actually give a little bit of what you need. So you
I do. Honestly, like this past year, you know, it's been rough because you know the career and the industry. It's a different game, but. Yes. Honestly, like, if I have a dollar and it's my last dollar, I like to give it to somebody. Like, I remember back growing up, somebody once said, give without expectations. Yes. Even if you know that this person might be using it to buy a soda, if you have a dollar, give it away, you know?
Right.
Who cares? And that's how I try to be most of the time. Yeah. You know?
Wasn't it me that told you that, or no?
No.
That was a long time ago?
It was my catechist teacher back in sixth grade.
Okay, way back. Yeah. You know, in the good book, remember the story of the lady that gave out of her poverty. She had a couple of bronze coins. Mm-hmm. She gave it to someone, and the rich man gave out of his gold.
Yeah.
But she was the one who was prized because she gave out of her poverty.
She had more, right?
That was the biggest gift, right?
Nice.
So that's the key, right? So people that can do that, even if you have a little bit of finances, go out and give a little bit of something. You know, lend someone some money without expecting anything back. Help a homeless person, you know.
But it's magical, doctor, because like you said, going from that transition of being away from society, you want to be away. But when you start making that transition, you start giving, it's like the universe says, okay, you're cooperating. I'm going to give it back to you. And it multiplies. It really does.
There's a lot of power of that. Same thing with loneliness. I mean, the more lonely you are, the more you want to help others who are lonely as well. And that's going to reverse it. People always say, I don't have any love. Well, why don't you start giving some love and see what happens? Mm-hmm. You know, that, like I said, the universe will come back.
Yeah.
But, Latina, I'm going to have to scold you right now.
Okay.
Because there's something that you do a lot, that a lot of people do. Mm-hmm. You always have your phone in your hand, right? Put that phone down now. Okay. Put it down. Okay, for the next 3 or 4 hours, as an exercise, because that disconnects people. You know, ironically, people are often on their messages and internet.
We are living in a virtual world instead of reality, right?
Yeah, we don't even see each other face to face. You know, you and I are face to face right now, which is beautiful. But most of the time, we're not, right? We're on the phone, we're on our tablets. Mm-hmm. So, in some ways, technology is disconnecting people. I mean, it connects them in one way.
Yeah.
Another way it disconnects them, right? Because it all becomes very technological, right? It's digital.
But you know what I think it is the fact that this technology makes you feel like you're wanted by people that you didn't even talk to, that you didn't even conversate with, but you forget about the essential elements, which is the family, the people that matter. You know?
Family, really good friends, right? And the people that you can connect with and help, you know?
I think, you know what? What we have to do, Dr. Avila, let's start this program. Let's call it phone diet. Start a diet.
Start
a diet and give yourself more time.
Yes.
And trust me, when you disconnect from a device and stop playing with it and hitting the likes, trust me, it kind of has magic because you start experiencing life and creating new memories.
Yeah, and also, you know, go out and talk to people. I mean, it could be a waiter or waitress at a restaurant or, you know, the person help, you know, with your car, whatever it is. You know, make a little small talk. You know, take another 5 minutes that you would take checking your phone to talk to that mechanic or that other person.
Right now, some youngster's going to say, whatever, old people, it's all about technology, Snapchat. What's up?
Well, that's good too, right? But, you know, if you got 10,000 friends on the internet, you don't really know them.
Yeah.
What does that do you?
What's the purpose in reality?
What's the purpose, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's connection.
But that's a good exercise. The social media phone diet. Phone diet.
Okay, everyone, yeah, write that down. That Nachin came up with a brilliant idea. Okay, we'll give him 5 extra credit points for
this. Thank you. And like you said, it's about giving. Give me $10,000, doctor, because I need to buy some new microphones. No, I'm just kidding.
Okay, sell the computer first. Okay, getting a pet. I mean, we always talk about this, right? You know, a dog, you know, a pet can mm-hmm. be very powerful in terms of loneliness. They've done studies with nursing homes mm-hmm. where they have people pet the pet, you know, and their loneliness decreases by 30%.
What?
And believe it or not, they even have even had a robot dog that they had. And actually, that could decrease loneliness, too. A dog that was a robot.
It kind of makes you, like, I guess it's the fact that it gives you a purpose. You're doing something that is rewarding. It makes you feel good.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of cuddly. You can touch it, whatever, you know, yeah, and you have a feeling. And even actually having a pet, this is great for lonely people, because when you have a pet, people will actually talk to you because you have a pet. Think about it. You know, when you go out there, you know,
you're giving away my secrets from college. I used to have a dog, a Pomeranian, and I was the cool guy.
Okay, you know, the ladies come up to you, hey, oh, such a cute dog.
How nice. I was like, yeah, he's lonely.
He's lonely, exactly. But actually, there was a widow that's 72 years old in a case study where she actually was walking her Cocker Spaniel, and she met a guy who had a German Shepherd.
Yeah.
He ended up getting married, you know.
That's so cool.
So it happens, you know, that kind of thing. You know, so it takes you out of your loneliness, right?
Yeah.
You have a little prop.
And I mean, I would say pets, but I think they're just like little creatures, because they become like family for a lot of people. These animals really, they don't have a voice per se, but they do have a vibe. And when you're next to a good animal, like, you feel right. it, and that animal gives you that infinite love. And I think it's yes. beautiful to start with that kind of love.
Right. I think we talked about agape before, unconditional mm-hmm. love, you know, which is rare, right? You know, we have it for our children. Many times we don't have it for our mates, you know, mm-hmm. because, you know, there's always a reason why we don't want them to, you know, to do something.
Yes.
But dogs have it for us, right? You know, for yeah. our animals, right? They have it for the owner that they have. Unconditional love, and that can be very extremely powerful.
And you know what? As we go through this podcast and we talk about different ideas with Dr. Avila and myself, I think the number one idea you guys got to get out of this is the fact that we talk about terms, we talk about ways to improve your life, but we say them because we've been through it. But more than anything, we want you to know that it's a process. It's not going to happen overnight, but it is a stepping stone, and you have to start with one step, and that's by changing one thing, right, doctor?
Yeah, you're right, because remember, one small thing can make a big effort. You know, mm-hmm. you've heard of what's called the tipping point, which mm-hmm. is a psychological term that, you know, one little change can make a big change. And, you know, like I said, you know, today do something different. Now, let's say you've been lonely, go out and, you know, take a walk, mm-hmm. you know, write a letter to someone, right? You know, maybe make a phone call, someone you want to talk to. You do one small thing today that can get you out of that lonely state mm-hmm. to build more of that power, you know, the inner power.
It's so weird, doctor. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I feel like once you get in that frequency of change, like and you start listening to the signs of the universe, it could be through people, through an ad you watch on TV or as you're driving by. This morning, we were talking about our topic today, being lonely, right?
Yes.
And out of the blue, I posted a video for an event that I'm hosting, and a friend of mine called me and he says, you know what? You need to do those videos that you used to do back in the day where you motivated people. Mm-hmm. And I said, honestly, I stopped doing them because I felt like some people weren't gravitating to it. And I said, now I'm doing a podcast with Dr. Avila's Love University. And that's the whole philosophy behind
right,
it.
Right.
I don't feel like I want to shove it down to people's throats. Whoever wants to mm-hmm. Get it, fine. And he says, look, make the videos because you never know who's going to be lonely out there and they need mm-hmm. those words. So if these words that Dr. Avila and I are speaking through these speakers to you, help you, we feel like we did our part.
Definitely so, because, you know, anything can change a life. You know, one small word at the right time can just transform an individual. And the idea of also of connection with the higher power, you know, if you do believe mm-hmm. in something, you know, whether it's through prayer, any kind of spiritual practice, meditation, those can be extremely powerful, because many times people are disconnected from themselves and from a higher power. Mm-hmm. And that is what's bringing them loneliness. I mean, they can have friends, right? They can have a wife, a husband, you know, they can have a lot of things, but they don't have that higher connection. What is the meaning of your life? What is your purpose?
Mm-hmm.
So that is another way to approach it, you know, to find that higher purpose for yourself.
And right here, we're not trying to preach you any kind of religion or anything like that. Rather, we're trying to preach to you that you can have that relationship with yourself. But I think that the moment we think to ourselves that we know it all, that's when we don't know anything. So I believe that we do come from a higher power, from a higher being that created us, whoever, whatever it is. I think the only thing that I can do is respect it. And that's the best thing, respect it by living this opportunity he or she gave me to be in this present and mm-hmm. and just be part of it and with good attitude.
I think so, because, you know, we're talking about the higher nature. And higher nature could be a lot of things. It could be being a more compassionate person, a more forgiving person, a more patient person. And we're talking about internal traits. Mm-hmm. Loneliness really is a disconnection from who you really are, from your authenticity. Mm-hmm. And to find that real authentic nature, who you really are, that's the key to life, you know. Mm-hmm. Well, you could be a quiet person. Maybe that is your nature, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe you're a poet. You know, maybe you're a scientist. Maybe you're a good mother or father. You're a good teacher. You know, you're a good broadcaster. Mm-hmm. Whatever it is that you have inside you, that's your authenticity, that's what you need to find. And once you do that, loneliness starts to evaporate.
And also realize that it's a process going back to it. You mentioned right now that I'm a good broadcaster. Honestly, I've been down when I've been lonely and I've been depressed, and I doubted that. Mm-hmm. I've doubted the fact that I can speak again to people because I felt like I was a failure. But I look back at my track and I had to really recollect all my steps and realize, you know what? Ever since I was a little kid, all I wanted to do was do good and be good. And I did it throughout school. I had good grades. I had scholarships and all this good stuff. And it came to a point where I thought, you know what? I've done everything by the book and the book has flipped on me. I had to be bad because being good doesn't get you anywhere. But trying to be bad wasn't in my nature. So I went back to being me and really believing in that gift and realizing that when things have gone wrong in my life, it hasn't really been just because of me. I live in a world that is not just mine. There's a million other elements that exist, people, circumstances, and I cannot blame myself for it and realize that things happen and they happen for a better thing, for it to come to your life.
Wow, you've been very philosophical today, Jamie.
Thank you, Dr. Avila. You've been inspiring me.
You're the guru.
I think at this point, I graduated from the program. Thank you very much.
I think you need to meditate in the air or something, right?
Okay, thank you, Dr. Avila.
you're doing good today. But I think you're touching on a lot of powerful points. We can even have a podcast for each of those points you just made. Because the first point is authenticity. Mm-hmm. Because you said you went away from your so-called good nature, right, into trying to be a little mean or whatever it was you were. Try to find that path, but it wasn't you. So you felt uncomfortable, right? You felt inauthentic, and you sense it inside. And I'm sure you probably had worse results as a result.
Yeah.
So that is one aspect, right? So when you find your true self, right, whatever it is, you know, you're a speaker, you're a helper of people, right, in the community, that is when you start to regain your power. Number two, you also talked about, you know, step by step, right? You know, you can't do it overnight.
Right.
You know, you got to regain your power one thing at a time. You know, it took you a while to get down that negative slope, so it's going to take you a while to get back up.
And like you mentioned in the other podcast, it's about changing your mentality. Instead of being that pessimistic person, think about the good things that you've done and realize that sometimes it's not that you're bad. It's just that the circumstances were not there for you. It's like me, if I try to go salsa dancing to a hip hop club, it's not going to happen. You got to be realistic and see and be honest with yourself and say, you know what? If I want to be better, what are the things that I have to do? Take responsibility. And don't be a victim, pessimistic person that's going to say, no, this is happening to me because this is this. No. Wipe your tears, get up, and say, I'm going to do the best of what I do because I have a track record that I know I've done it before. Why am I doubting myself? Because of one bad apple that I picked up or one bad experience, I don't want to ruin the rest of the night because there was a fly in the room. No. Don't focus on that. Focus on the present and you'll be good.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, your talent, you know, your God-given don, you know, which is your higher nature, that is what gives you power. But also the environment. I had a dream one time when I was in this room, and I was building, I was trying to find something, and I was looking out everywhere. I couldn't find it. I was so frustrated. And finally someone said, you know, you're in the wrong building. Hmm? It's over there. That's where the prize is.
And you did have that dream?
I had that dream, you know. So that's incredible. You know, here I'm frustrated, rushing around, you know, in the wrong place. Yeah. And it's over here. That's where the gold treasure is. And that's the key for a lot of people, is to find that mansion, right, where you belong. Yeah. Your gold treasure is there naturally. But you don't have to chase around all the room, right? You don't have to go to every different place. It's there waiting for you. And that's the key.
It's finding you. Yeah, that's it.
That's beautiful, man.
That was it?
That was it.
Man, I kept you quiet for a second. I was like, is Dr. Avila okay? I was like, okay.
No, wait a minute. I mean, because you just summarized it in two words, right?
Yeah.
You know, this whole thing we're doing, and that's very powerful.
Yeah.
Two words. Finding you.
And with that, we leave you guys. Thank you so much for us doing this podcast. We do it out of passion. And like I said, I believe in science. And doing this podcast has brought me out of my dilemma and allow me to be a different individual. And I think if I go through this together with you guys and with you, Doctor, I think a lot of people can realize that, you know what? Not everybody has a perfect life.
That's true, but you can be perfect in your own way. Yeah. In other words, finding your treasure inside, right?
Well, doctor, I mean, let's end it with that, finding you.
I think so, because the treasure is within yourself, right? I guess finding Nemo is really finding you. For those people that like to watch the movies. And also people that want to write to us, you know, they have questions. You know, we have a website and all that, lovetypeforyou@AOL.com. And also lovetype.com. So they can write into us, you know, and ask us any question they want. And we can eventually have people come on the air. And we want to actually see them in person.
Next week, I have a call. I got a message. And this girl wants to talk about her life and about she's going through a problem with her current man. There's so many layers to this story.
Oh, okay.
I want her to come on board and talk about it. And maybe some other people are going through the same mess, and we can all clear it out together.
Yeah, like I said, you know, the loneliness cure, right? That's what we're looking for, you know, because I believe loneliness is one of the biggest problems in our world, even more than, you know, physical disease sometimes, is a mental disease that we have, that we're not enough, right? That we're missing something, that we're empty. So to be able to connect with other people and connect with ourselves, that's the highest treasure we can find.
Finding yourself and being yourself is the key.
Until next time, Love University, class is dismissed.